Welcome to another episode of Disrupt. I'm Joyce Famakinla, Senior Reporter at Home Healthcare News. Today's episode is with Dr. Melissa Welch, Chief Medical Officer of Sprinter Health. In this conversation, we talk about her passion for increasing access to quality care and serving underrepresented communities and how Sprinter Health is doing this. We also talk about the role partnerships play at Sprinter Health and the company's latest funding rounds. Now let's get into it. For this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Melissa Welch, who is the Chief Medical Officer of Sprinter Health. Where are you joining us from today?
Thanks so much for having me, Joyce. I'm in the beautiful state of California in Lake Tahoe, California.
Oh, it sounds so lovely. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us then. So for the listeners that aren't familiar, I'd like to kind of ground them in the conversation that we're going to have. Can you give an overview of Sprinter Health and its business model?
Yeah, sure. You know, Sprinter has really distinguished ourselves, I would say, in creating a system that really pairs virtual and in-home care. We provide care in the home, we provide care virtually, and we can do a hybrid model of care, focusing on really targeting people who have gaps in their care, meaning that they may need a preventative care service, they may need diagnostic services, or they may have other needs. And we go into the home and curate a special set of assessment on what those specific needs for that person is. And our model includes a different type of workforce than I think goes into most homes. Many people may just send phlebotomists in to do isolated services. Others may send nurse practitioners into the home. Or in some cases, doctors may go into the home. Our model is one that leverages really phlebotomists, licensed phlebotomists who we train with medical assistant skills and skills in community health work, outreach worker engagement strategies. As you can imagine, people coming into your home, you want people that might be familiar with your community, familiar with who you are. And so that community health outreach worker strategy is one that we think is very important. And we pair those sprinters, as we call them, with a virtual team of nurse practitioners and other specialists who can be there in case the patient may need more advanced services where a licensed technician is required. So it's a virtual in-home and hybrid care model using a very different and unique type of health services provider to go into the home and provide preventative care services, wellness services, and any other specific services that are prevention focused that people might need.
And can you talk a little bit about the specific ways that Sprinter Health is working with home health companies?
Well, we ourselves are a home health company. At this time, we're not partnering with other companies. Our real target customers are health plans, where most of our patients reside. We may partner with other companies who are helping us perhaps with some of our more sophisticated technology enrichment efforts, so optimizing our operations and our own efficiency. And we also have patients who are part of groups, medical care groups, who we provide our services to. So along with other types of home health companies, we're in the marketplace. Our focus is on chronic prevention type services. There are home health companies that may focus more on the acute side of care, and we focus mostly on preventative and chronic care.
Thank you for making that distinction. I'd like to hear a little bit more about your background, though. You started Sprinter Health after a 40-year career in the healthcare industry. Can you talk about this and what attracted you to the home-based care space?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting. I started my career really in the public sector, in public health. It was an early calling for me. I grew up in impoverished areas in Southern California, and we weren't a wealthy family, so we relied on public health services when I was a child. And, you know, I remember vividly going to community-based clinics that were located in the parks. and getting my immunization. As you can imagine, that can leave a imprint on you as a child. And it did for me. I knew I wanted to be a doctor early in my time as a child at 9 years old. I was very focused. And so public health and serving the community based on that experience as a child was something that I always wanted to do. So I finished my undergraduate career in California, went to Harvard for medical school, came back to California at UCSF where I did my residency, and I got my master's of public health at Berkeley and went right into community-based care from there. So that's always been sort of the core of my background. I was a primary care internist for about 15 years of my career, and during that time, I did do home-based care visits, work with public health nurses, work with child workers or community health outreach workers. So kind of a full circle moment. And my whole career has really been focused on addressing the needs of underserved populations, whether that's Medicaid, Medicare, vulnerable children and mothers. I had the opportunity probably about 15 years into my career to go on to the plan side of care delivery. And it's interesting, I made that pivot in my career mostly because the business that came looking for me, Aetna, recruited me. And they recruited me primarily because they wanted somebody who had had experience in the public sector, experience with diverse populations, to be able to help them shape programs to serve those same types of populations. Throughout my career, that has been a regular theme. I went to other companies, Blue Shield of California, helped do some of the same things, drive care programs for vulnerable population, market and brand to those populations. And at the pinnacle of my career, towards the end, I ended up working for some PACE program of all-inclusive care for the elderly, again, serving vulnerable senior populations. And in that context, home care became very, very prevalent. As you can imagine, seniors have greater challenges with falls, with dementia, with transportation, with food needs. And in the PACE model, all of those services are provided by PACE, and you go into the home and you develop a very unique relationship with that population. And so I spent a lot of time with that program. And more recently, I became a caregiver for illness in my family. Both my husband and my dad passed recently, and I had to do a lot of home care. And so when the Sprinter opportunity came along, you know, all the way through my career, it was pretty obvious to me that this was a way to both give back to the community, continue to serve the population that I was very interested in serving, vulnerable people who might not have access to care. And I could do that in a setting that could be very personalized, could be very much like going back into the community and serving, and in a unique way that provided access where we're in a system of care now where access to care is really a challenge for many communities. So it's really been a full circle opportunity for me. And I'm looking forward to spending, you know, a lot more time here structuring new programs for vulnerable populations, which is how I started my career.
Something you did touch on was that, you know, increasing access to quality care while serving underrepresented communities is a passion of yours. How is Sprinter Health doing this?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, over the year and a half that I have been here now, I've seen our target partner populations increasingly be more underrepresented communities, particularly in the Medicaid space. We serve all ages and all types of partners and partner insurance types. So Medicaid, Medicare, the exchange population, as well as some of the more complex models like D-SNPs that are different types of Medicare managed care models. And within all of those models, one of the things that we've noticed is that we have a knack for being able to actually access underserved communities. A lot of plan partners will come to us and say, like, we've heard that you guys really are able to, you know, go into these communities and be very successful, you know, with very, very high booking rates and engagement rates and excellent satisfaction scores. How are you able to do that? And I think one of the things that makes it really easy for us is because we look for people that come from the communities to work for us. They look like the community. The community knows what to expect when they see our sprinters, their uniform, their professional. They take pride in the fact that people are letting us into their homes. And we respect that, and we train our sprinters to keep that as a forefront. So we're very patient-focused. It's a passion and value, I think, for our company, and I think it's reflected in our Net Promoter Scores, which have been consistently over 90 for Sprinter. So underrepresented communities, I think, will be a huge value prop for us going forward. It's something I think that really differentiates us, and clearly is something that I'm passionate about as well.
What are some key clinical challenges that you feel Sprinter Health is best equipped to solve due to the company's care delivery model?
Yeah, I think that that's a really great question. You know, as a physician going into the home, you can see a lot of different needs. And I think when we go into the home as sprinters and as the virtual care team that is available to patients, we're looking at how do we meet all of that individual patient's needs. So many companies will go in, they'll just do, you know, blood draws, or they'll just do that blood pressure check. We go in and we look at what are all of the care gaps that this particular individual needs. Is it diagnostic services? Is it, you know, learning how to collect a stool sample for colon cancer screening? Is it mammography scheduling that they need help and follow up on? Or is it just that they need us to help point them to how to get food resources that they may be lacking, or how to prevent falls in the home? We look at all of those things. We have ways where we leverage technology to look at prior utilization patterns of the patient, prior needs that that patient may have, and of course, gaps in care that we can close when we go into the home. And when we get there, our care teams, our sprinters, our virtual nurse practitioners, our MDs, if we need them, can provide that particular patient with everything they need, one and done in that visit, and people don't have to go back. We make it very clear that we're not trying to replace their primary care providers. As you can imagine, people develop very personalized relationships with their primary care provider. Having been one, I can tell you that that is very true. And we make it very clear that we're a bridge. We're there to make sure that they get everything they need, but to also provide them with that continuity, that knitting back to their healthcare provider and back to the health plan. And all of those people, the patient, the health plan, the provider, get the information that we provide in the visit back to them. I think that this is a key thing that medicine doesn't do now. The healthcare system doesn't do now. It's very fragmented. We take that fragmentation out of the system, which is a big challenge. And we also provide easy access to us and deliver everything that people need. So, you know, while that may be a challenge for people who don't have access to this type of care delivery, it's not something that we at Sprinter have not figured out how to circumvent.
In May, we covered the news that your company raised $55 million in a Series B funding round. What's the plan for this current round of funding, and what does it allow you to do that wasn't possible before?
Yeah, I mean, we're really grateful for the funding and for our investors who've been with us from the beginning, most of them. And it's really allowing us to grow the company. I mean, we are attractive, as we said, to many plan partners because of the populations we're able to reach and care for. And so a lot of that investment is going to go towards scaling our staff of sprinters and nurse practitioners, and also to optimizing and perfecting some of the technology we're using, leveraging some of the AI efficiencies that are out there now, to retool our navigation strategies, our own workflows, and our own efficiencies. So technology build, optimization, and staff growth to allow us to continue to scale the company is primarily where most of those funds will be focused.
And a few years ago, Sprinter Health partnered with Firefly Health to bring a new hybrid model of telehealth and at-home care to patients in the Boston area. Can you give us an update on that partnership and what you were able to accomplish through that collaboration?
Yeah, that was an early collaboration, and Firefly was and is a fantastic company. But we moved into a direction of contracting directly with health plans to work with patients for their preventative health needs. So we're no longer actively collaborating with them, although, you know, the future, who knows what that may bring. And it's possible we may end up doing more work with them later on. But currently, we've moved to a different model where we're directly contracting with health plans and provider groups and no longer with Firefly.
Staying on that general topic, can you talk about the role partnerships play at Sprinter Health?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are two parts of that question. One would be partnerships within our organization, and then I think the other would be partnerships with the larger healthcare ecosystem. Within our organization, you know, everybody at Sprinter, I think we can think of ourselves as partner. We have this value that we call Scrappy, and I really love that value. It's not one that I've seen in any other company, but it really allows everybody to bring something to the table in the company and be equal partners in contributing to design and contributing to development, product development, new modes of delivery, trying new things. And I think that that really speaks to the collaboration and partnership that we as a company pride ourselves on. So I feel like I partner with every aspect of the organization, whether that is with the engineering team or working directly with the clinical team. In the ecosystem of healthcare, and it's interesting, I was just at the AHIP conference, the annual health insurance plan conference, and one of the themes was this idea that we're going to need to do more partnerships in healthcare generally. You cannot exist, I don't think, personally, in healthcare today if you don't partner. I mean, we can build things within Sprinter Health that we ourselves can build, but sometimes it makes more sense to partner with others who might be able to deliver something more efficiently. One example of that obviously is in the growing space of how do you apply AI. Some things we at Sprinter Health may be able to build really quickly by ourselves. Other things, other partners who are more advanced in doing some AI type things might be better for us to partner with. And so in that regard, you know, we will continue to look for that balance between do we build within, do we partner with others, particularly around retooling and optimizing our own systems. And certainly, I think in the future, do we partner with others to do different types of care delivery models will certainly be something we would want to look at.
Put simply, it seems partnerships are paramount at Sprinter Health.
Absolutely.
And healthcare in general. Moving on, though, what are your short-term goals for Sprinter Health, and what are some of your long-term goals for the organization as well?
Well, you know, it's easy to really start to see ourselves continue to get bigger and bigger as we're doing. We were excited that, you know, we've booked over 1,000 appointments today. So it's a big celebration within the company. And I'm sure by another week or so, we're going to be well surpassed of that. So I think perfecting our current delivery model is certainly within the scope of our short-term goals. Optimizing some of our technology and tools. We have a very sophisticated way of sending our sprinters out into the home. Our chief technology officer calls it trickle, how we basically send sprinters out, make sure they have the resources, make sure they're in the right place at the right time with the right patient. Takes a lot of sophisticated trickling, as we call it here at Sprinter, and we control that, and we retool that every day. So I think a lot of our short-term goal is really going to be concentrating on perfecting our care delivery and our technology capabilities and models. Long-term, we'll be really thinking about other ways that we can contribute to the home care space. Home care is going to pervasively be a huge part of the healthcare delivery system now and into the future. I think that there is no question about that based on the fact that just the elderly population alone in 2027 will be the predominant population. And we still have mothers and babies and vulnerable populations who are not going to be able to access traditional brick and mortar healthcare due to some of the known barriers we've already talked about. So we will be looking for ways in the long term to continue to serve all of those populations, to do things that help us reduce the cost of care. So looking at ways to move people faster and keep them out of institutionalized care, which would include bringing them out of the hospital faster after an admission, getting them out of nursing home faster. So transitions of care, as we talk about it, and different ways perhaps to monitor people using AI for some of the chronic care conditions that might allow us to do that. I think all of those are things that may be on our longer term horizon.
Apart from what Sprinter Health is doing, is there a care delivery model right now that you find fascinating? And if so, can you talk a little bit about why?
Yeah, I mean, I think the struggle in healthcare for the longest time has been, you know, how do we deliver high quality care at scale at the lowest cost with the best quality, value-based care, as we call it. I still very much believe in value-based care delivery models. Sprinter is an example of one of those types of models. I think the optimal two types of models I've seen throughout my 40 years in healthcare have been on the two extremes of life. Kid models, so kid care models, like Healthy First, Healthy California for Kids, where you have full service everything, behavioral health, primary care, social determinants of health, all delivered and paid for by the same provider. And then the other side of life, the program of all-inclusive care for the elderly, where again, it's a wraparound model. You're a payer and a provider. Again, two other types of value-based care delivery models. So I think that those delivery models will not go away. We're going to see more and more healthcare go in that direction because we quite frankly have to. We've got to learn how to take cost out of the healthcare system in the United States and do so in a way that we're offering more value to patients, a better patient care experience, more value to providers, a better provider care experience, and at a cost that is affordable for all of us.
Mylisa, thank you for joining us today on Disrupt.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health, home care, and hospice industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com or consider becoming an HHCM Plus member. I'm Joyce Femakinwa, and this has been a production of WTWH Media.